في سد إن أحدكم يجمع خلقه في بطن أمه 40 يوما نطفة. That is the creation of each one of you is brought together in his mother's belly for 40 days in the form of a nutfa, which is a seed of semen, of sexual discharges. Then, ثم يكون علقة مثل ذلك. Then, he is a clot of blood, thick coagulated blood for a like period. ثم يكون علقة مثل ذلك. Then, a morsel of flesh for a like period. ثم يكون مضغة مثل ذلك. Then, a morsel of flesh for the like there. ثم يرسل إليه الملك. Then the angel, an angel will be sent to him. فينفخ فيه الروح, who blows the breath of life into him, the spirit. ويؤمر بأربع كلمات. And he will be commanded about 4 matters. بكتب رزقه, to write down his means of livelihood. وأجله وعمله, his lifespan, his actions. وشقي أو سعيد, and whether happy or unhappy. فوالله الذي لا إله غيره إن أحدكم لا يعمل بعمل أهل الجنة حتى ما يكون بينه وبينها إلا ذراع فيسبق عليه الكتاب فيعمل بعمل أهل النار فيدخلها. By Allah other than whom there is no God verily, one except him, the true God who deserves to be worshipped alone. Verily, one of you behaves like the people of paradise until there is but an arm's length between him and it, and that which has been written overtakes him, and so he behaves like the people of hellfire, and thus he enters it. And one of you behaves like the people of hellfire until there is but an arm's length between him and it, and that which has been written overtakes him, and he behaves like the people of paradise, and thus he enters it. All these meanings were discussed last night, so now we need the points of benefits from this hadith. The first point of benefit: the beautiful style and manner of speech of Abdullah bin Mas'ud, where he started the hadith saying حدثنا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وهو الصادق المصدوق. That the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us, and he is the truthful, the believed one. And this is as if it is coming كأنما تخرج من مشكات النبوة. This is as if it is coming from the night of prophethood. كلمات عذبة مهذبة. Words sweet, refined, and pleasing. And this is, if you examine the style of Abdullah bin Mas'ud statements, you will come to the same conclusion, as if they come from Mishkat al-Nubuwa, from the might of prophethood. انظر إلى الأثر المروي عنه. Examine the report in which he said من سره أن يلقى الله غدا مسلما فليحافظ على هذه الصلوات حيث ينادى بهن. Whoever loves and pleased to meet Allah tomorrow as a Muslim, then let him preserve these salawat, these prayers, when they are called for. It is as if coming from Mishkat al-Nubuwa, from the night of prophethood. Second point of benefit: that a person may need to certify information if he wants to relate it to people, by using means of certification, assertion. And this benefit is deduced from Abdullah bin Mas'ud describing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, وَهُوَ الصَّادِقُ الْمَصْدُوقُ, and He is the truthful and the believed one. And we learned last night, why did Abdullah bin Mas'ud preceded the hadith by mentioning that the Prophet ﷺ is the truthful and the believed? Because the hadith talks about matters of the unseen. This is a prelude, and medicine was not advanced in their times. The next point of benefit, that man's creation in his mother's womb is collected in this manner, which we heard from the hadith. The first is nutfa, then gradually it changes after 40 days to a clot, then a morsel of flesh for the same period, then the angel comes and blows the soul and other things. The livelihood is commanded concerning the livelihood, the lifespan, the actions, and whether happy or wretched in the hereafter. So he stays in the womb as a nutfa, the sexual discharge, for 40 days, developing gradually. Now someone may say, is it legal to abort at this stage? To abort at this stage? The answer is, the fuqaha of Islam, the scholars of fiqh in Islam, mentioned that it is permissible to abort using a permitted medicine, allowable medicine, because at this stage there is no origin, a human formation at this stage. And the origin of man, which is blood, is not yet developed. Others from the scholars see that even at this stage is not permitted, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in Surah Al-Mursalat, in chapter 7, 77, verses 21-22, فَجَعَلْنَاهُ فِي قَرَارٍ مَكِينٍ إِلَىٰ قَدَرٍ مَعْلُومٍ. When then we placed it in a place of safety, which is the womb, for a known period, which is determined by gestation. So they said, we cannot really boldly neglect this place of safety and therefore take the fetus out. And the correct opinion is this is a closer to be the correct opinion, this latter one. However, its forbiddance, its degree of forbiddance, its degree of tahrim is not as the higher degree of tahrim if it takes place in the latter stage of development after the fetus reaches 4 months. However, if the mother carrying the fetus becomes ill at this stage of the nutfa, and it is feared for her life, then the question is it permissible for her to abort? And the answer is yes, because aborting it is now a necessity, is necessary at this stage. Remember, we are talking about the stage of nutfa, the very early stage. The additional point of benefit now, the wisdom behind having this development from nutfah to the alaqah, shedding the light on the importance of blood in the life of man. Because the origin of the children of Adam after the nutfah stage is the alaqah, which is the thick coagulated blood. And that's why we know if man bleeds, he may die. So the origin of man after the nutfah stage is this blood. Now, the third or the additional point of benefit is that the third stage is the mudra, is the morsel of the flesh. And this morsel of the flesh could be of a formed type or unformed type. It could be formed or unformed. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated in Surah Al-Hajj in 22, verse 5. ثم من مضغة مخلقة وغير مخلقة. Then from a nutfa, mixed drop of male and female sexual discharges. Then from a clot, which is the piece of thick coagulated blood. Then from a little lump of flesh, some formed, this is the point of evidence, some formed and some unformed. Meaning formed into a human figure. Now, there are legal matters related to this stage, formed or unformed, which we should know about. What does the term form and unformed entail legally? Number one, take the case. If this lump of flesh is aborted while in an unformed stage, then the bleeding accompanying it is not considered postpartum bleeding. Rather, it is called damun fasad or damu fasad, abnormal, irregular blood. So therefore, the woman can pray and can fast. All of this legally depends on this being unformed. Second case, if this is aborted while the woman, if this is aborted, we're talking about the unformed stage yet, while the woman is in her waiting period of iddah, then her iddah is not consumed by the fact that she aborted this unformed flesh, because the iddah is considered complete when the load is mukhallaq, is in the human form. And similarly, the stage of nifas, the postpartum state, requires the same, that it is in the human form, mukhallaq, formed, meaning. Because before this stage, it may still be a piece of flesh, not human. And therefore, we cannot resort to affirm the related legal matters concerning salah, siyam, divorce, etc., except with certainty, where it demands that the human form is shaped at this stage. Next point of benefit, that the blowing of the soul takes place after the completion of 4 months. That the blowing of the soul takes place after completion of 4 months. Because in the hadith, ثُمَّ يُرْسَلُ إِلَيْهِ الْمَلَكُ, after the 3 periods, each 40 days, completing 120 days, then the angel will be sent, blowing the breath of life into him. And upon this, there are some cases which are very important. Case 1, if the fetus is aborted after the blowing of the soul, after the 120 days, 4 months period, then he is to be washed, the fetus is washed and shrouded, and funeral prayer is conducted upon him or her, and he is to be buried amongst the Muslims and given a name, and aqiqah also is offered, sacrificing the animal, because he is now a human and takes the rulings of the normal human, normally developed or fully developed, the elder or the adult. Now, the second thing, that after the blowing of the soul, it is forbidden to abort under all circumstances, and this will be discussed in details. So, if the soul is blown after this 4 month period, then it is not permissible to abort, because aborting it is a cause to destroy the fetus, and it is illegal to kill him while he is a human. If someone now says, what about if his continuity in the womb becomes a reason for the death of his mother? Should it be aborted and reserve the mother's life, or keep and her life threatened and loses her life, and then consequently the fetus himself? The answer, based on mere opinion, some people may take this position, but there is no opinion that opposes the Sharia to stand as sound. So we say that it is not permissible to abort, even if the doctors, people of medicine, say if the fetus continues to be in her womb, then the mother will eventually be destroyed. And some may even say, those who go for the pro-aborting, they say if the mother is destroyed, then the janine, then the fetus will be destroyed, and thus we will lose two. But if we abort, one will be lost, and this is the fetus, and the mother will be safe. And the in response to this opinion, we say, killing one soul to preserve another is not permissible. Killing one soul to preserve another is not permissible. Suppose two men were on a journey in a wild place, having no provisions. One was elder than the other. One was a boy, 10 years or 9 years, and the elder one became hungry, very hungry, such that if he doesn't find what to eat, he will be destroyed. It is not permissible for the elder one, never it is permissible for him to sacrifice the young one and eat him and live. This is by the consensus of the Muslims. And if it is such that the boy, if we say, لو أسقطنا الجنين, if we abort the fetus and it's destroyed, then it is we who killed it. And if we preserve it and the mother dies, and then he dies, the one who finished them up is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it is not us. Thirdly, it is not binding or inevitable that if the mother is destroyed, that the fetus is also destroyed, especially in our times, where there could be quick surgical interventions to remove the fetus and preserve him. And this is even evident with, in case of the vet doctors, the veterinary medicine, working with sheep and like, if the mother dies, they quickly intervene and they take the load before it dies. It is possible. We also add to this, if the fetus dies in his mother's womb by the decree of Allah, also this is not binding or inevitable that she will die also. He may be taken out and the mother preserved. So in conclusion, after the soul is breathed, then it is not permissible to abort under all circumstances. Additional benefits: the care of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala concerning creation, where He assigned to them in their mother's wombs angels taking care of them, and also angels once they leave the mother's womb also taking care of them, and also angels if they die. All of this is evidence of Allah's care for us. Additional benefit is that the soul is breathed while we don't know the how of this. And this is from the methods of the unseen. This is like the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Tahrim concerning Mary, Maryam alayhi salam. وَمَرْيَمَ ابْنَةَ عِمْرَانَ الَّتِي أَحْصَنَتْ فَرْجَهَا فَنَفَخْنَا فِيهِ مِنْ رُوحِنَا وَمَرْيَمَ ابْنَةَ عِمْرَانَ الَّتِي أَحْصَنَتْ فَرْجَهَا فَنَفَخْنَا فِيهِ مِنْ رُوحِنَا. And Maryam, the daughter of Imran, who guarded her chastity, and we breathed into through our Ruh Jibreel, and she testified to the truth of the words of her Lord. Additional benefit that Ar-Ruh is a jism because it is blown and settles in the body. Ar-Ruh is a jism, the soul or the spirit is a body, because it is blown and then settles in the body of the human. However, is this ruh a body like of the kind we know of ourselves, the thick bodies conformed of blood, flesh, nerves, skin? The answer, لا علم للبشر بها. Humans have no clue or no knowledge to that. Rather we say, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Isra 85, ويسألونك عن الروح قل الروح من أمر ربي وما أوتيتم من العلم إلا قليلا. And they ask you, O Muhammad, concerning the ruh, the spirit, say, the spirit is on, or it is one of the things, the knowledge of which is only with my Lord Allah, and of knowledge you, mankind, have been given only little. Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah said, وَلَمَا لَمْ يَكُنْ عِنْدَ الْمُتَكَلِّمِينَ وَالْفَلَاسِفَةِ عِلْمٌ شَرْعِيٌّ بِحَالِ الرُّوحِ تَخَبَّطُوا فِيهَا. And when the people of rhetoric and philosophers didn't have any of the legal knowledge concerning the condition of the spirit, they got confused regarding it. Some of them in Narruh, they said, in Narruha Arab, ay sifatun lil badan. They said the ruh is only a description of the form, the physical form, like length, whiteness, blackness, darkness, etc. Arab. And others said that the spirit or the ruh is the blood. And others said that the ruh is part of the of part of man, like his liver, his foot. So all are confused. وَأَمَّا أَهْلُ السُّنَّةِ say, الْرُوحُ مِنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّي, it is one of the things, the knowledge of which is only with my Lord Allah. However, we believe in that which we knew of its description in the Quran and the Sunnah. And from that is the following. The saying of Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Sajdah 32:11. قل يتوفاكم ملك الموت الذي وكل بكم. The angel of death who set over you will take your souls. Take your souls. Then you shall be brought to your Lord. And in Surah Al-An'am in 661, حتى إذا جاء أحدكم الموت توفته رسلنا, meaning take him, take his soul. حتى, until when death approaches one of you, our messengers, the angel of death, take his soul, and they never neglect their duty until when death approaches one of you, our messengers, angel of death and his assistants, take his soul, and they never neglect their duty. And it is affirmed in the authentic Sunnah that the angels, if they seize the soul from the body, and if the person is from the people of paradise, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from them, then they come with the shroud, or with shrouds from the shrouds of paradise, and wahamut min al-jannah, and perfume for embalming from the perfume of paradise. فَأَخَذُوهَا مِنْ يَدِي مَلَكِ الْمَوْتِ, and they will take it, the soul, from the hand of the angel of death. وَلَمْ يَدَعُوهَا طَرْفَةَ عَيْنِ, and they wouldn't leave it in his hand even for the blink of an eye. ثُمَّ جَعَلُوهَا فِي ذَلِكَ الْكَفَنِ, and then they will shroud it in that shroud. وَصَعَدُوا بِهَا لِلسَّمَاءِ, and they take it up to the seventh heaven. Therefore it is a body, however, different from the other thick bodies which constitutes our body, which is our body. And Allah knows as to its nature. How? And it's amazing. The soul is amazing. It has conditions during our sleep. Leaves the body, but not completely. You find yourself traveling the far distances while you are in sleep. You may reach China or the farthest west. You may be flying an airplane or in a car while you are in your place covered by your sheet, yet roaming the earth. The soul is amazing, and we have no knowledge of it except that which came in the book and in the Sunnah. And that which we don't know, we leave it to the one who knows best, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you, man, don't know concerning your soul, which is within you, within your boundaries, so how could you attempt and dare to check as to the how of Allah's attributes, who is far beyond you to comprehend the how of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So if you estimate yourself properly, knowing that you are unable to know of the how of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's attributes, attempt to achieve that, not even to ask about it. And that's why Imam Malik rahimahullah ta'ala, in his famous response to that question that came from that man, when he asked him as to how Allah ascended the Arsh, Imam Malik responded that this is a bid'ah, an innovation, and he ordered him out from his majlis, from his circle of knowledge. and this example concerning the soul is a decisive proof and evidence against those who search as to the how of Allah's attributes. So if the slave does not know of his own self, his own soul, upon which his body is established, then what about the state or manner or how of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's attributes? Additional point of benefit. The angels, alayhim as-salam, are commanded creatures, commanded to execute, as Allah said here, فَيُؤْمَرُ بِأَرْبَعِ كَلِمَاتِ. The angel will be commanded with four matters, and the one who commands is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Additional benefit. These four matters are preordained on man: livelihood, lifespan, actions, happy or wretched in the hereafter. Does this mean that we should not take by the causes leading, for example, to provisions? The answer is not at all. Rather, we do. And what we do from the causes is related to the provisions. Additional benefit. That the angels write. That the angels write and record things. And now someone asks, what type of letters they use to write? Do they write in Arabic? Do they write in Hebrew? Do they write in Syrianic? Asking this is an innovation. We believe that they write. As to what language they use, we don't say anything. Now, is this writing in a separate record, or is it written on the forefront of the fetus? The answer: there are some reports which may indicate that it is written on the forefront of the fetus, and others indicating that it is written in records. And reconciling this is easy, because it may be written in a record and the angel takes it, and it may be written on his forefront. Benefit: man does not know of what is recorded for him and what is written for him. And that's why man is called to act, to attain that which is beneficial for him. None of us know what is already preordained and pre-recorded for us. But we are commanded to do righteous deeds and to comply with Allah's commands and His legislative commands, and to abstain from what He declared to be forbidden, in order to benefit our own selves. Take by the benefits and what's beneficial, and leave the harm and what's harmful. The final point of benefit: that the end of the children of Adam is either to one of two things: either happiness or wretchedness. Allah Ta'ala in Surah Hud in Surah Hud 11:105, فَمِنْهُمْ شَقِيٌّ وَسَعِيدٌ. On the day when it comes, no person shall speak except by Allah's leave. Some among them will be wretched and others blessed. And also in Surah At-Taghabun, verse 2, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, هو الذي خلقكم فمنكم كافر ومنكم مؤمن. He, Allah, is the one who created you. Some of you are believers and some of you are non-believers. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala أن يجعلنا جميعا من أهل السعادة إنه سميع قريب. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from the people who are blessed. He is all hearing, most close. Walhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam, and may Allah's mercy be upon our Shaykh, rahimahullah ta'ala. This brings the end of hadith number 2 from the 40 hadiths collected by Imam al-Nawawi, rahimahullah ta'ala.